This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
Painting the economy by the numbers. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Quite a bit of data out today, and this week actually. Jobless claims fell by 16,000 last week. Housing starts in December were up 7.6% over the previous December. And yesterday we had retail sales. Those were up 5.6% year over year. So let's put it all together and paint a picture of the economy. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Tax and Audit and Advisory from KPMG. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Let's start with jobless claims. They move up and down a bit, but they're down quite a bit, 16,000. What do we make of that?
They are down a lot, and that's great if we can fully rely on the data. What we're somewhat worried about is that there were really, really bad storms across the plains and much of the country, the Northeast, that may have delayed some people putting in their applications for new jobless claims. Anyway, the data is cut. We are still at very low jobless claims numbers, and that's the reassuring news as we sort of enter 2024, is that we're still on very firm footing.
All right, so that's in the good news category. Housing starts, people breaking ground on new homes. It's down from November, but it's still up quite a bit from the year before. What's that telling us?
Again, you know, really weird weather. We seasonally adjust this data, and we're not sure exactly what it means. But I will say there are some interesting trends starting to emerge, and that is in December, we saw mortgage rates plummet on hopes that the Fed would cut rates this year and cut aggressively. We'll see if that is to be the case or not. But what's important is what builders are doing. Builders are doing what's called mortgage buy-downs. They're giving discounted rates to keep first-time buyers in the market, and they're building a lot more affordable housing.
We have jobless claims, housing starts, and let's just throw in retail sales, which were up 5.6% year over year. We got that earlier this week. Is there something to be said for all of these? Can you connect all of the dots into a message about the economy?
Absolutely. The bottom line is the U.S. economy has not only shown that it's got stamina, it's got endurance. And that's important as we enter 2024 and the headwinds we face. But on the heels now of financial conditions actually easing as financial markets have rallied on hopes of a rate cut and on hopes that the economy is finally turning a corner on the inflation.
Diane Swonk, chief economist at KPMG, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Things were fairly slow in the world of corporate deal-making last year. Globally, the total value of mergers and acquisitions was the lowest since 2013, according to Dealogic. But this week, Goldman Sachs, a bank that does a lot of corporate deal-making, said it expects the deal-making environment to pick up this year. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
Even though there haven't been that many actual deals recently,
the conversations are taking place.
Stephen Bigger with Argus Research says those conversations have been focusing on the healthcare industry, tech, and clean energy, for instance.
A smaller biotech firm may have made some unique discovery, and that makes them a compelling acquisition target.
A big reason those deals haven't been happening is that rising interest rates have made it costlier to buy a company. Emily Feldman, a professor at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School, says if interest rates tick down,
many of the deals that might be sort of being thought about or considered right now might start to come more to fruition.
But Feldman says volatile equity markets are still making it harder for companies to use their own stock for acquisitions. Plus, regulatory scrutiny of corporate deals has been ratcheting up.
Do companies even consider certain transactions, kind of knowing that the environment is going to be more difficult from the perspective of getting those deals through?
Feldman says if we do see a pickup in activity, it'll probably come in the second half of this year. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
The days of having to remember a million different passwords, or worse, reusing the same one, could soon be a thing of the past as firms like Google introduce the use of something called passkeys. But what are they? And is anything really secure these days? BBC cyber correspondent Joe Tidy has that.
How safe is your face?
Now we're inside the food lab.
At online identity experts on Fido, they ask this question every day. Surrounded by an impressive collection of different types of masks, Simon Horswell tries to think like a criminal and trick online facial ID systems used to verify customers on the apps of large companies, including banks.
These masks, as you can see, they vary in quality. And the trick there is some of them might look similar to the person that's on the document. But what we found increasingly over the last few years, certainly, is that we've found more and more what I would call professional fraudsters. They've started using deep fakes in the biometric side of it.
Can I have a look at some of the
technology? Sure, by all means. So it's at the moment, I think I've got it on my face. So if you just pop into the camera, you'll see that you actually...
So I could be you a set
right now, yeah.
Within a second, my face, as seen on the camera, switches to Simon's.
Yeah, that's my smart. Now, what I could do as well, because you sent us a single front-on shot, mm-hmm. and again, this isn't from the video you sent.
This is from a still picture.
Yep, and I could have done this from an image on the internet, and now we're both you.
So weird.
At the moment, fraud experts like Simon are able to pick up on fakes, but things are about to get a whole lot busier for people like him as the world is moving rapidly towards a new technology that uses Face ID and other methods to protect our lives online. The new system is all the rage in tech keynote presentations.
Passkey.
So what are passkeys and why are they the future? If you think of an online login as a door, the current system of passwords is like a code. As long as someone has it, they can get in. A passkey is like a doorman, checking your code and your ID pass. Online services use your phone or computer to verify who you are with a thumbprint, facial ID, or the unlock code. It takes a bit longer to set up a passkey compared to the trusty old password method we've always done. So why the big shift? Well, it's because although convenient, passwords are not trusty at all. They're a terrible way to secure accounts. Corey Macy hacks into companies with permission for a living.
I would say that if a company is restricting things only by password, they're 100% vulnerable. We will always get in. People are really bad when they create passwords. 9 out of 10 times when I go into an environment and I try the password summer 2023 or winter 2023, you're going to get a few accounts.
Over the years, it has become possible to make passwords safer if you're willing to put in the work.
First of all, of course, you've got to have really complex passwords across every different online service. Impossible to remember, so then you need a password manager. Then you need to have multi-factor authentication as well. So if you try and log into a service that you don't normally have on, let's say, this device, it's a hassle.
It's no surprise, really, that security experts have largely failed to persuade people to jump through all the hoops. It'll take years for passwords to be phased out.
Right, now I need to put that password into this account.
And no doubt criminals will come up with new ways to get around passkeys. But overall, the cybersecurity world is hoping that 2024 will be the year that the happy death of the password begins. I'm the BBC's Joe Tidy for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.